You know that feeling when your day finally slows down and you just want to relax, unplug, and feel good? That's where Mood.com comes in. They're changing the game, delivering legal THC products right to your door, no shady dealers, and absolutely no medical card required, just good vibes and better sleep, shipped straight from their farm to your couch. From delicious THC gummies, smooth vape pens, to premium THC flower, Mood has it all. And everything's federally legal under the 2018 Farm Bill. Yeah, this isn't some loophole. It's the real deal. Head to Mood.com and use code FIRST20 for 20% off your first order. That's MOOD.com. Find your mood.
What's going on, No Bad Dog Army? Welcome back to the number one dog training podcast with me, Tom Davis. Today, I'm going to be specifically talking about leash reactivity. More importantly, why it can happen to anybody, including me with my own personal dogs. Now, if you guys don't know me, I live and breathe reactivity on the leash. Like, it is my bread and butter. I have been traveling the world for over a decade, instructing and teaching on it and helping people all over the world. And so I'm just here to tell you, leash reactivity is something that sometimes is unavoidable. It sometimes is unpreventable. And sometimes you can't even modify it. You can't get rid of it, right? Like a dog that's pulling on the leash, you can change that. A dog that won't come back, you can change that. But a dog who has the genetic disposition to be protective, and it goes against every single cell in their body to just ignore what they think are going to be potential risks to the things that they care about, it's not going to go away. So if you have a dog that, you know, maybe is a Rottweiler, a German Shepherd, a Borbal, a Mastiff, sometimes these dogs can be extremely protective. Now, there's different shades of reactivity. I just worked with a dog who drove from Michigan to work with us for a couple of days. And the dog was extremely reactive because she was fearful. She was insecure. She was nervous. She was basically trying to tell everyone around her to get away because she didn't know how to live her life. And the person who she cared about the most, which was her owner, also didn't show her how to be a good, you know, she didn't provide good leadership. Now she does. And the dog couldn't talk. We couldn't have a conversation with this dog in the same room because she barked so much. She just finished group class after 2 days and went home happier than a pig and you know what. So there's different types of reactivity, but I just want to talk really about people who have tried everything, who have been frustrated for a long time. There's something I did today with my dog. And again, like I went out with my dog, I get excited when he gets locked in because it gives me an opportunity to really sharpen my tools and focus on what I love to do, focus on my career, focus on how to make me better for you guys. So he locked in on this dog today and I just knew within the first 5 seconds, you can't correct him, prong collar, e-collar, leave it. Hey, I got food over here. Once he locks in physically, you can't get him off. Especially if there's another dog that's also locking in on him, which happens all the time. Again, he's a big intact male, which means he's got a lot more hormones and testosterone than other dogs. So other dogs target him. They look at him funny. They bark at him. And so it's this whole thing. So I went out with him. He locked in and he growled and he kind of jumped up a little bit and he lunged a little bit. But he's a big, powerful, strong dog. So a little bit of his power and his chest coming forward is a lot of energy. It's a lot of dog. It's a lot of power without even trying. He's extremely well built. And I'm really happy that I have him, but he's a lot of dog. And for those of you who've been following closely on my channel or who have watched my dog's puppy videos, again, you saw him come home the first night and react to Lakota. That was baked into his brain. That's who he is. Those are his genetics. And that's okay. I'm okay with that. What I'm not okay with is dog owners out there thinking that their dog is going to be changed and they need to change the dog. And if they don't change the dog, then they're not successful. And that's not always the case. Again, the dog I worked with this morning, Rayla from Michigan, she stopped reacting in 2 days because she was only reactive because she was fearful. Burley is reacting because his genetic, maybe he likes reacting. Like he thinks it's a sport, right? Like he literally was born to be a protective dog. That's all he was born to do, was walk around like some sort of gorilla and ward people off the property, right? Like that's why I got him, you know? So if I didn't know what I was doing with dogs, he would be a problem, like 100%. And if you guys have seen my Borble videos with me and my clients, they are a problem. So if you have a dog that's reactive, understand this. You might have a ceiling. You might have an area where you just can't break through, where you hear all these videos. That's why I'm making this, because I kind of had this epiphany this morning. I was like, I was working with this other dog who had really bad leash reactivity out of fear and insecurity. I worked with it. She got into group the next day. The owners were like, this is the first time she's ever been around people and dogs. And she did it with 10 other dogs. They went home. End of story. The dog's going to live a way happier life. Burley, before I even went into work at the Upstate Canine Academy, was testing me and testing other dogs in the neighborhood. And I was able to sharpen my tools there. So here's what I did. He locked in. I corrected him with the prong, told him to leave it. I did a focus command. He knows the focus command really well. He knows to leave it really well. His genetics and in his brain said, not now, Dad, I'm in the zone, right? There's nothing I could have done to break him. So I thought. So at that time, I was correcting him, telling him to leave it. The other dog wasn't barking or reacting, but staring at him, kind of on the harness, lunging towards him and a road on the other side of the road. And so it was fine. We went by, we know each other. It's the dogs kind of like bark at each other. It's no big deal. And it's the best type of relationship to have with somebody because they understand. And also they're not getting freaked out because they know that I wouldn't let him off leash. And they know that he's not as aggressive as he looks, right? He's just really like, I'm here. So I go for a walk. And then after I said, okay, that didn't work. What else do I have in my toolbox? I have a lot in my toolbox. I have a lot in my exercise. I have a lot in the techniques and the methods and the things that I could do. But what is the big problem here? The problem with him was him locking in. His face, his chest was locked in. He was boom. And I was standing next to him, and every move I made, he would pin against me. He would stay with me. So he never really lunged, but he was also never disengaged off the dog, which was a problem. But again, he knows leave it. And 5 years ago, Tom, I would have said, I don't think your dog knows leave it well enough. And I would have said to me, I would have said, well, I think he knows it pretty well. But the reality is when you're trying to go against the genetics of a dog and tell them not to do something, but the thing is they feel like they're, and again, I don't know, maybe he just really likes reacting. Maybe he's just really feels good about it. I work with a lot of people who work with drivey dogs, bite work dogs, and they get a rise out of fighting people. Not biting, fighting. Well, fighting and biting. But so I said to myself, all right, cool. That was good information. Let's learn from this. What's something else I can do that's going to combat what he's doing, which is the lock? So here's what I did that was successful. We went back, same dog, same time frame, same morning walk, like 7:30 in the morning, and we passed again. And what I did this time is I said, okay, I can't let him physically lock in because once he's dialed in, it's really hard to get him off of it, even though he listens. Like I forgot to tell you something. I downed him as well. So when I downed him, he stayed in his down, but he's so explosive and he was so locked in. He wouldn't look at me. He was just locked in. I can't, you guys, I'm a professional dog trainer specializing in behavior modification. Been doing it for a long time. And I'm just here to tell you, like, when a dog locks in that much, you're doing something wrong. And I was doing something wrong. I just, again, he's only reactive to dogs once out of 10 times. A lot of you deal with dogs who are reactive every time. So by nature, he's a reactive, protective, big goofball. And so I have an opportunity to like work on things and have this flow with him to try to figure out things because he's not a mean dog and he's not consistent. So a lot of times when I go out, I don't even think about it. I'm like, oh yeah, he didn't react. So once he does lock in, here's what I did. So once he saw the other dog that he just reacted to, I did an inside turn and I cut around him. So let's put it this way. For those of you who are just listening, I'm walking. He's on my left side. The other dog is on the right side of the street walking towards us. As I'm walking out, I take my left leg and I swoop and go around the other way, going to the same direction they're going, okay? And then I stop, and now the dog is facing, right? So I'm walking towards them. I stop, and then I turn around, and I pay the dog next to me with food. Now they're walking towards us. Once the dog got close enough to where they were in like 10 feet range, all I did is I turned back around and heel forward and he disengaged completely. So what that tells me is two things, and three things, actually. What that tells me is if my timing is good when I do an inside turn and before he gets to the point of locked in, like autofocus, and I can redirect him physically, that's helpful. The other thing was the idea of the food. So if you do have a dog that's food motivated, is because he wasn't locked in at that moment physically and mentally, he was like, yeah, I'm going to take the food. If I were to try to give him food when he's already locked in, he wouldn't have looked at it. Right. So you got to think about that as your dog's going through this, like your timing matters a lot. And so as I was walking, he saw the dog. I did an inside turn. I said, hey, you interested in some food? Sit. He sat. I paid him. He goes, yeah, I'm interested in food. I can tell in his face. He's like, give me more. So I'm doing a focus command. Now the dog's walking past. So the difference was I inside turned dog so he didn't look at the dog. And then as soon as the dog got pretty close, I turned back around and created some more focus heel with some food lure. Boom, done. So I did an inside turn, a sit, a focus command, another inside turn, walked the other way, did another focus command, and I did a contact lure just to push him through the situation. Because I know a lot of you guys also deal with other dogs reacting towards your reactive dog as you're trying to work on this, which is extremely hard because I don't know if any of you guys have watched hockey before, but it's kind of like a hockey fight. It's immediately like, boom, drop gloves, especially with a dog like Burly. He has a very short fuse for other dogs who think that they're going to bark at him in his neighborhood with his people. And I will say something interesting about Burly. I bring him to my facility, 15,000 square foot dog training facility filled with other dog trainers and other dogs. He's completely fine. He plays there with other dogs. He plays there with other intact big dogs. Doesn't have any issues. So the other thing to keep in mind too, when you guys are dealing with your reactive dogs, the first thing is understand the dog you have may have a ceiling for what is capable. And your job is to collect enough skill sets, exercises, tools, and techniques to really move your dog through the situation creatively, like I did with my dog this morning. Had absolutely no issues because of my timing, my reward system. But the most important thing is he knew the things I was asking him. He knew what the focus command was, which is look at me. He knew what the sit command was, and he knew what the heel command was, because if he was in front of me, dragging me, pulling me down, or because he could, it would have been a shit show. It would have been very unsuccessful, 100% unsuccessful, actually. And I'll just stop right here to tell you guys, you might be thinking like, wow, this is making a lot of sense to me. I want to dive in deeper. I do have a leash reactivity course. You guys can click the link below. It's called Reactive to Neutral. It goes over all this in depth, but I show you in person. End of plug. But that, to me, with Burly, taught me so much about timing. And it also like created that's why I'm doing these podcasts/videos in my second YouTube channel, is because I always have these epiphanies of, man, that would be so helpful. And I know that there's people out there all the time. Anytime I say that sometimes my dog can be a jerk, like I don't have perfect dogs. If anybody tells you they have perfect dogs, they're lying to you. And that's just me being honest. Like, dog training is an art form. Sometimes it's pretty and nice and amazing and it makes you feel really good. And sometimes it's not. And sometimes there's mistakes. And sometimes the dog doesn't perform the way that you would hope them for. Sometimes the dog does things that makes you scratch your head. But for me as a dog trainer specializing in leash reactivity, this dog is teaching me so much about leash reactivity. If you guys have seen the first videos I did with Burly, or even the first podcast I've done with Burly, one of the things I say of why I got him outside of protection is because I know it's one of the hardest breeds to work with ever. I've worked with three of them. Two of them are on the YouTube channel, and they were the most rewarding dog once I broke through with them. Like, they're so protective. Like, I can put the video up here if you guys are listening to this on YouTube, of Cooper, the dog in Montana. I mean, the video has like over 3 million views or something. It's crazy. This dog is Burly. He would go after people and react. Burly's never reacted to people, but he would go after people and react and never do anything. He'd jump on him and scare the shit out of him because he was bigger than Burly, and he wouldn't do anything. He was just reactive. He was protective. And at that time, I didn't have a lot of experience with a South African Mastiff. I am so grateful that this breed is not popular, by the way. I'm so happy I don't see a lot of them, because they are very difficult dogs. They're also really hard to read. They whale eye, they stiffen up, they don't have a tail historically, and they're really hard to read. That's why I got them. So, you know, I made this video because I just think that a lot of dog owners out there get so frustrated because they think that they're failing. But maybe you should lower your expectations and understand that maybe the dog that you have may never not be able to react. Maybe that. Maybe this dog may have certain ceilings that they have to hit. Maybe you have to get more creative about how you handle your dog in certain spaces and certain situations. And also too, I'll say this, that when you're working with a dog that becomes reactive, you're so nervous and worked up that you don't have an opportunity to actually figure out what you did and audit what you did. Like I do jujitsu a lot. And one of the things that some of the guys do is they put their phone up and they record their roles. They record them fighting with other people so they can go home and realize what they did and the mistakes they made and the gains that they've made. And with dogs who are reactive on the leash, we don't have that opportunity. When your dog reacts on a leash, our heart is pounding, our adrenaline's going, we're praying to God the dogs don't get to each other to get into a fight or your neighbors don't get mad at you, that we don't even have an opportunity to really work on the skill sets that we've been thinking we're going to do or we've been training with. We don't have the exercises and the tools to come together. It's kind of like a car accident happening all at once. And us dog owners are like, wait, what just happened? Not to mention it only happens for like 5 seconds and then you're running out of that situation as fast as you can. So you never really get an opportunity to know what you did wrong. So some things I recommend is record yourself, have somebody else record you, and see if you can work around other people that are okay. Like my neighbors are all really cool for the most part, I think, are all really cool. Like we all kind of understand each other. Like, oh, like when we passed this last time, my neighbor Lauren, shout out Lauren, she was like, oh, that was a good encounter. Like the dogs didn't react towards each other. And that's like, you know, the best case scenario. Like that is amazing. You know, that other people are out there going like, hey, sometimes my dog doesn't listen to, or, you know, my dog doesn't listen. And I know it's causing, you know, more, whatever. Like, it's just amazing. It's tough when you get people out there that are like judging you and yelling at you and, you know, making you feel like crap. And I've seen that with my clients when I go out and train. Burly, I have control over all the time for the most part. Like he just gets explosive and it's like, whoa, what do you, you know, chill. And because he's such a big dog, I'm sure it can scare certain people. But, you know, again, I didn't get him to be friends with everybody, you know? So it is my responsibility to make sure I can handle and control this dog no matter what. And I can, and that's why I've trained him up to the third level of the obedience, 1, 2, 3, right? Like he is extremely obedient, excuse me. And he listens to what I want to say, but there's just times where he wants to do what he wants to do and you have to pivot because that's the dog you have. So if you have that dog at home, just know that it's okay. Like don't try to reach for 100%. Just try to reach for progression, right? Don't try to reach out for perfection every single time you go out. Just know that your dog is capable of not being reactive, but there also is the reality of that doesn't mean your dog is going to like other dogs. Your dog isn't going to want to react, but you just have the skill sets, the timing, experience, and knowledge to really counter these things when they happen. And that's why I wanted to make this podcast. That's why I wanted to record this video, is because even me, somebody who specializes in leash reactivity and helps people all over the world, I have a dog that can be reactive, but I know all the things that I need to do to make it successful. And I know all the things, like it's really just like a really, just like what an NFL team will do, right? I have a lot of clients that play in the majors and baseball and NFL. And when I'm at their house, they're just constantly looking at tape. I mean, and I'm looking at people, I'm like, you are the face of the MLB or the NFL. And you're sitting down watching tape to get better over and over again. And so just learning from the mistakes, because that's the thing, is like you go into it when you go for your walk and you're like, this is going to suck. I hope I don't see dogs, but just try to like really audit and capture what you're doing. Try to figure out what you're doing so you can get better. That type of documentation and that type of information for you is invaluable. So many people are just like, here, Tom, you do it. Help me. I'm like, okay. Or, you know, whatever. And so just really try to like figure out the why, you know, and it's hard to explain here now. Again, that's why I plugged my leash reactivity course. That's why I make them. I mean, obviously I got to keep the lights on the studio, but also I know that that's going to help you guys to understand the difference between a fearful dog who's reacting, an actual dog who's reactive, or a dog that's aggressive. Like all those things are in that. It's a whole course. Anyway, so that's what I wanted to say, guys. Don't be so hard on yourself. you know, if you're not learning from your mistakes, you need to start trying to do that. You need to start really getting in granularly to see like every, that's what I did out my walk. I did one thing, I did another thing, that didn't work. The next time I did two other new things, that worked. Okay, I'm going to do that more often, right? But then I'm going to go out with him and he's going to completely not care about that dog the next time because that's why I got him. He keeps me on my toes. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for watching. I appreciate you guys very much. We're taking questions now and we're going to answer the questions next time on the next podcast. So I'm excited to do that. We'll talk to you guys next time. Thanks for watching. Subscribe to my YouTube channel and thanks for listening to the podcast. Peace.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.